If you would like to see the book where it tells the story, you can come up and take a look at it after church. The scripture I'm reading is from the Big People's Bible with no pictures, but plenty for your imagination. It's Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but we have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all that were with them were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. When Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now you shall be catching people." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of God in Scripture, the word of God among us, the word of God within us. If you were looking at your pew Bibles, you would notice the title here, the heading of this section, called "Jesus Calls the Disciples." Now, I was intrigued by that because I searched the text and the word "call" isn't anywhere in it. Jesus doesn't offer an invitation like "come and follow me." He makes more of an announcement. "From now on, you will be fisher of people," or what we said in my days growing up, "you will be a fisher of men." And the first response to the disciples to this announcement is they were afraid, but somehow they had the strength to bring their boats to the shore, and they left everything and they followed him. Now, is that a call story? When you talk about call, it can make people a bit uncomfortable. They think that pastors are the only ones to get calls, and that's good enough. Or they think it should be from God, like Jeremiah or Isaiah got a call during the night, that it should be dramatic and you hear God's voice and you know it. I heard an interview not too long ago that someone was taking, and there were two questions, faith questions, they said. "Write about your call story and your faith walk." And it made me a little crazy because it separates your call story and your faith walk, and you know, they really are the same things. It's not just pastors who get calls. Everyone that follows God, who seeks to be a follower, that is a call. It doesn't happen all dramatic very often. And in that early church, here's a surprise, there weren't any ordained pastors. Oh no. Just regular people who wanted to be followers, to be believers. Everyone had the opportunity to leave the old behind, to leave the regular set patterns of their lives, and follow the one that would ask more of them and do things with them that they never imagined. A little bit before this story, Jesus starts his ministry. He preaches his first kind of sermon. He teaches in the temple, and the responses, it made people kind of mad. They wanted to throw him over a cliff and get rid of him. Great way to start his ministry. And then he starts healing and teaching. He healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. And the word about him is starting to spread. It's kind of like a fever was going over the people. And people came cramming in on him. They wanted to hear him speak, but they were so close that they could not hear him. So Jesus looks over and he sees a boat that is owned by Simon Peter, and he says, "Will you take me out in the water a bit?" Because Jesus wanted everyone to hear him. Maybe you know that about water, that on water, sound just passes really well. If you've ever been on a boat in a lake and you hear someone talking and you think it's right next to you, you look up and it's way in the distance. Sound just passes on the water. So Jesus begins to teach in that boat. He teaches like the rabbi he was. And when he has done, he says to Simon Peter, "I want you to take me out to the deep water and put your nets down." Now, Simon Peter was willing to go with his first request, "Take me out in the boat." But the second one, that was not so easy. Because, you know, Simon Peter, he knew about fish. And he knew that he had been fishing all night and there were no fish. He knew you didn't fish in the deep water because it was dangerous for his little boat and you just didn't catch what he wanted there. So he says to Jesus in a fairly respectful way, "Master, we've worked all night long and we have caught nothing. With all due respect, sir, this is not going to work. There's no fish out there. We fish in the shallow water anyway." But yet he respected Jesus' teaching and his power and probably understood that you shouldn't say no to such a man. So he said, "Yes, I will go out." And you know what happens. So much fish, the nets almost break. Well, when Jesus is right, in this case, he was overwhelmingly right. They couldn't count or carry what they had caught. And Simon's response here is he falls down on his knees in front of Jesus and says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Now that just catches me as an odd response. I think he would have said, "Thank you for all the fish," or, "You are amazing," or, "I should have just believed you right away." No, he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinner." It sounds a little bit like what happened to him in the temple with Jesus, that he just wanted Jesus to be away from him. "Go away from me" could also be translated as, "Get out of my neighborhood. Get out of my life. I know how things work. I know fish. And what you did was out of my experience. It was not the reality as I know it." You see, Peter came in contact with this amazing power, and he felt like he wasn't worthy to be in the presence of one. He wasn't equal, just couldn't be with the one who can control water and all that is in it. And Jesus replies to him, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." We've heard "do not be afraid" a lot so far in Luke. We hear it from Mary, it said to her, and to Zechariah and the shepherds, "Do not be afraid," because when God enters the picture, it's a little bit scary. Well, I was talking about this sermon with someone, and they said, "Well, that's really interesting. Interesting facts about fishing and the disciples." And the friend said to me, "Well, what does it say about your church? What does it say to your people? What do they have in common with Simon?" It's a good question. I had to think of it a bit. And then I thought, we may have more in common with Simon Peter than we first thought. First, Simon was regular people. He had an everyday job. He worked for a living. He fished all night. At dawn, he came in. He cleaned the fish. He sold the fish. He repaired his nets. And he took some extra fish home. Every day of his life, he did that. And I think when Jesus asked him to use his boat on that day, he was probably tired and worn out and maybe just a little bit grumpy. Because you know how it is when you work and nothing gets produced. It was one of those days for him. And he talks frankly to Jesus. He says, "Master," it's respectful, but you can hear some resistance in his words. "If I put those nets down, nothing is going to happen. But somehow he's willing to step out of his regular pattern. He's willing to do the unusual thing that Jesus asked. I wonder if we too have to move out of our patterns, our regular ways, and willing to take some steps and actions in faith. For us, the danger of regular routines is they can become numbing. They can become like a prison for us. We get so comfortable in our regular ways that we don't venture out of them. We say things like, someone asked us to do something, we said, no, I can't do that, or I'm too busy, or the famous seven words of Presbyterians, we've always done it this way. You see, we say no, we can't, without even thinking. The disciples moved out of that. They tried something new one more time. The power of Jesus in the story is he got them to break their patterns, to live in a way they did not normally live. They were challenged to sail from their familiar shore into a new way of living, cast a great vision to find new challenges. One man said that his father's favorite saying was, "Success is failure tried one more time." And that's what the disciples did. They put their nets down. They tried one more time. And they put them down in dangerous and risky waters. And they did what Jesus asked. Maybe we too can voice our questions and our resistance, our liking of the same old familiar ways, our fears, and yet still follow where Jesus leads us. And that Jesus will still say, come with me. You're going to live my life and fish for people. Some say Peter fell down to his knees because he was feared of God or in awe of God. Now, fear doesn't mean like scared hiding under the bed. Fear is a healthy sense of God is God and we're creatures. That he knew he was in the presence of someone greater than him, someone who was awesome and someone who was amazing, and he didn't feel like he was worthy to be in his presence. I wonder if we have moved from acknowledging God as awesome to just wanting our God to make us feel good and make us feel comfortable. John Buchanan writes, "Awe in the face of mystery, humble acknowledgement that there is more to reality than we can comprehend. Reverence for God and God's creation is at the heart of religion and in the Bible the essence of our own humanness. Sometimes it seems like there's a modern conspiracy against reverence. When we encounter the whole in life, we encounter God. It's a time for awe and reverence." Annie Lamott tells a story that she thinks there are two best prayers. The first one you say in the morning, help me, help me, help me. And the second one you say at night, thank you, thank you, thank you. She said she learned a third best prayer. Wow. She said you should say wow to God at least once a day. I wonder if we need a bit more wow, a bit more awe in our lives of faith. Maybe we need some willingness to be amazed and follow when we don't expect it to be, when we have questions, when it feels unfamiliar or like we're in dangerous waters. I'm going to tell a real story on a pastor. It's a story told at stewardship season. And this pastor tells the story this way. I was not present at the finance committee the night they voted on the budget. The next morning, I got a call from the chairperson. Preacher, we had a great meeting last night. I opened with prayer and the Holy Spirit descended on us. With little discussion, we voted, all of us, to approve next year's budget. A 10% increase over this year's budget. It was wonderful. A new spirit has come on the congregation, and we're going to ride with it. The pastor said in love, "Let me get this straight. The church that was 5% behind its budget last year is going to do a 10% increase this year? That's crazy. I am the spiritual leader of this congregation, and I'll tell you when the Holy Spirit gets here. There is no way we're going to make the budget this year." The chairperson said, "Well, you weren't there, and we already moved on it and voted it, so that's how it's going to be." And the Sunday services in October that year were stewardship Sundays. And the chairperson every week would have a stewardship moment and talk about the progress of the campaign, or lack thereof it. The second and Sunday in October, she rose in the beginning of the service and said, "I never thought I'd see this day in the church. I'm pleased to announce that we have pledged this year's budget in full." And the church erupted in spontaneous applause. "Which is more amazing," she said, "because it's a huge increase over last year's budget." Applause again. Now, I remember someone who said, "You will never pledge that budget. Now, help me remember who said, "That's crazy, you'll never pledge the budget." Who said that? Sometimes I despise the anti-clericalism of the lay people as much as I fear the unwanted intrusions of the Holy Spirit. It isn't easy when you're fishing with Jesus. Sometimes you do want to say, "Get out of here, Jesus." But maybe this Sunday, this hour, this communion meal, we will say, "Jesus, come in here. Come into my life. Go with me into that deep water." William Sloan Coffin once said, "The miraculous catch was not the haddock and the shad or whatever fish they caught. The fact was that Peter and the rest of them, even as we are, were caught up in the net of Christ's love. That is the miracle of the story." Maybe on this Sunday, this day, we will be caught up in the net of Christ's love and be a fisher for all people. Amen.